You are listening to
Share the Game with Friends and Strangers.
You see that?
You gotta talk into the mic.
The Naked Mile. Did you see that?
The bike ride?
Yeah, the bike ride. Downtown. Were you there at all?
No, but I heard about it because you called me and gave me a first-hand report.
Yeah, well, the cocks.
What this. Happened?
Expecting to see females down there. We went down to an event and got an eye full of cock. Or a cock full of eye. Or however you want to say it. A lot of dicks. Down at the pier.
Did you press any charges?
No, not at all. Because I kind of tried to turn the other way. It was pretty cold out there, that outside too. And needless to say, there was a couple of guys that had the elephantitis of the dick that day. I don't know if they were elephantitis because they saw a lot of women or just being naked outside. But naturally, I don't think people look like that.
I think during the same week, it was also Pride Week as well, correct?
It might have been Pride
Week. Pride Week was either the week right before, during, or right after. I know that for sure. So it was kind of, so maybe that's why there were so many dudes.
Possibly. There's a lot of women that look like dudes too.
Were there any hotties?
Probably not. There's a lot of bush. out there, and I was sitting off the sidelines just kind of screaming out obscenities like ass pimple, because there's a lot of dudes that had pimples on the ass, and chia pet, because goddamn, I mean, there's the chick that had a full-on bush, like she even tried to trim, but I mean, it was like
a naked bike ride from a time machine. Like it was like they rode in from like 74. And popped out the other side to 2011.
I don't know. A lot of the dudes had sideburns on their dick, too. I mean, hella hairy.
That's awesome. Would you ever do that?
Honestly, probably not. Just for the sense that it's probably uncomfortable, I guess. I mean, the seat rubbing up on your nuts or...
Your balls
probably would have probably hurt hella bad, you know?
Have you ever, okay, so back in the day when bell bottoms were in fashion, they used to sell these plastic clips that would go on the side of your pants, so your bell bottom wouldn't get caught up in the chain. Have you ever heard of these?
No.
Okay, it was like a plastic clip that goes over the back of your leg. It's essentially what bikers do today, where they roll up their pant leg so it won't get caught. But this is just, back in the day when you had bell bottoms, this is so you didn't have to roll them up. You just clipped it over your leg and it kept your pant leg tight so it doesn't get caught in the chain. I wonder if old dudes have to do that with their balls on the naked bike ride so their testicular sac doesn't get caught in the chain.
You know, there wasn't only bikes at the naked bike ride. There's also skateboarders that were
naked
there as well.
Naked skateboarders. And dudes, of course.
Obviously dudes.
Where are you at, Alyssa Steamer? Come on. Is that her name?
Who, Alyssa Steamer?
Yeah.
I thought she was a man.
The chick from Tony Hawk?
Yeah, I thought that was a guy.
I feel bad for girls who really like, if there was any girls that like that video game, cause it's like 15 dudes and then you could be Alyssa Steamer.
Did you ever play as Alyssa Steamer?
Fuck no. I was Burnquist, Bucky Lassick, and...
Mullen.
Ronnie Mullen, yeah. Who was the Reynolds guy? I liked him.
Reynolds.
Andy, is it Andy Reynolds? No, it's not Andy Reynolds.
It's not Ryan Reynolds.
It's not Ryan Reynolds, no. The fuck is his name? Something Reynolds, anyways. Those are my three dudes. And, like, I didn't play Bucky Lassick all that much, but yeah.
Yeah, my characters are probably Rodney Mullen.
He's the one that does the 50-50 really well, or the manual really well, right?
The manual really well, yeah. The flatland. Kareem Campbell, just because he was that one token black guy.
Yep.
He was the one black dude, and probably Bucky Lassig, just because he rode with a backpack.
With a backpack. Fuck yeah, dude.
That's the only reason why I picked him.
You know, I think, you know what I think he had in the back of his backpack?
Drugs.
Besides that, I think he had fruit boots.
You think so?
I think so. I think he's a fruit booter at heart. I know I was.
Yeah, you know, you know what's funny? I was actually thinking about that the other day. You don't see too many people riding rollerblades anymore.
Well, rollerblades is just sad. It's so 90s, like, but beyond that though, what happened to aggressive inline skating? So yeah, rollerblades. What happened to aggressive?
It's gone. I mean, you only could do so much on inlines. I think.
For a while there, it was like blowing up. I would argue it was almost neck and neck. But yeah, I mean, skateboarding like totally like just dominated ultimately, and is the dominant thing. Even way over like BMX. Like BMX took off there for a while, but now
it's
now skateboarding is still.
It's skateboarding and we'll say motocross.
Yeah, motocross. Yeah, and then you have like snowboarding and shit like that. Why? What is it with the skateboards that just dominates, though?
I think you could do so much more with the skateboard. You know.
Do you think the video game had anything to do with it? Tony Hawk?
Possibly. I mean, what? They made Tony Hawk 9?
I mean, there were BMX games, and I think
Matt Hoffman came out with a game.
I think there were maybe one or two roller skating games, but the only one I can think of is Too Extreme, which at one time
I
thought...
I don't remember that game.
I thought that was the coolest shit ever. You could skateboard, rollerblade, snowboard, or bike.
Oh, I do remember
that.
And
you basically go in a straight line, and you basically just dodge shit. And you could, like, if you got close to people, you could smack them. But it was basically, like, the extreme.
Do you remember sketching?
No. Is that rollerblading?
It's rollerblading. It's where you, like, sketch on the backside of cars. And you hold on to the back of cars, and you race.
I remember that all.
Yeah.
That would be funny to track, the... skateboarding video games, and then the popularity of like skateboarding equipment sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like a skateboarding video game comes out, and then watch skateboarding sales versus, and then watch the decline of like BMX and
aggressive inline.
It'd just be interesting.
Yeah,
you know, which kind of shows that if you did that, and if you know. That would be my hypothesis, is that if skateboarding game comes out and then skateboarding gets more popular, therefore, my hypothesis would be that, I lost it. They would disprove that video games make people lazy. It's almost like, I mean, some people they do, but it's almost like if a cool video game comes out, you're like, hey, fucking!
I would rather play
Tony Hawk and do a kickflip like that. I'm gonna learn how to do that myself. Like some, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Some kids will go out and buy it and try to do it themselves.
Why do it in real life if you can have a video game?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So the only inline game that I really, really, really remember was, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was like a inline spray paint game. Do you remember what I'm talking about? It was like Jet Set Radio or something like that?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember the game at all. Yeah, the name sounds familiar. The only skate or rollerblading video game I can think of is Too Extreme, which sucks. If you go to play it now, I once thought it was like the coolest video game. This is in like 95 or 96 when the first PlayStation was out. And yeah, now you look at any video game that's even like four or 5 years old, and you're just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
There's some games that hold up.
Mario.
Just because they're fun in general to play, but yeah, graphics wise.
What would you say? I would say Mario.
That's held up?
Yeah, Mario or Pac-Man.
Tetris.
Pong. Yeah, I did like
Duck Hunt.
Yeah, Duck Hunt would never lose. It's
I mean,
it's flavor.
No way, baby. Give me that duck. Pinky. Have you tried duck?
Oh, yeah, dude. Duck is real good.
Duck's bomb.
We should go down to Chinatown and get some duck.
Let's do it. Let's go right now. Fuck this.
It's 7:40. I don't know if...
Oh, right on.
I don't know if I want to eat any duck that's still in the window. Chinatown might have been there all day.
Why? One of us would dress up like a duck, and the other one dresses up like a cheesy-looking hunter. Yeah, the dog. And we'll just run around town playing duck hunt until we get arrested.
I'm down. On a flip note, something I want to bring up was I watched the first episode of Weeds last night.
It's back on.
Season 7. And, you know, I'm a big, what's a supporter, I guess, of that show, or
right.
A fan of that show.
Right.
But technically, honestly, my feelings, this is my opinion. So I think Nancy needs to die. I mean, that bitch needs to go. And if you watch season 7, you'll understand why. Actually, if you watch season 6, you'll say that she needs to go.
Or even season 5.
Yeah.
When did the fire happen? Was that the end of 5 or was that the end of 4?
No, that's in like 3.
Sure?
I'm pretty sure it was into 3.
Well, because now they're on season 7.
Yeah, they're on season 7.
Season 6, she had married the drug cartel guy.
That was season 5.
What?
Yeah, season 6, she was on the run.
She went up to Seattle. Oh, fuck, you're right. So season 4 is when she left
Majestic.
God, I hate. Why did they change the name? I hate that. I hated that.
Because that church guy.
Oh, I hated that. Okay, I was just thinking about that episode where who's the little creepy brother?
Shane
was in the classroom in the religious school, and I forget which Bible story they were talking about, but he was like basically disproving the teacher in front of all the kids. I should know this. I should know specifics off the top of my head. But it was some story, and Shane just kept asking, you know, logical questions like, well, if this happened, then why isn't this or whatever? And the teacher really couldn't answer the question, so all the class was basically, he basically put doubt in all their heads.
Right.
Like doubting, like, what the teacher had been teaching the whole time. And it reminded me of growing up, because I went to Seventh-day Adventist school. Which was run by Seventh-day Adventist School? Which was run by Seventh-day Adventist. Which was run by Catholics. And, no, it reminded me, like, I was into, like most boys of a tender age, I was into several things. Like, one being sharks, another being dinosaurs, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those pretty much ruled my world for a long
Power
time.
Rangers.
Like, Jurassic Park, yeah, Power Rangers. Jurassic Park and, Sharks, Jurassic Park, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were probably, like, my three favorite things for, like, the longest time. Anyways, small examples. I would bring, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles lunchbox to school. Or I would bring...
Would they give you shit for the shredder?
Yes.
On the back of the
one place. Where he was super big.
Super big.
They were all standing on a rooftop. Yeah.
I had that. I still have that. I think mine was red.
I think mine was purple. I had the Donatello. It was either purple or blue. Even though I was a Leonardo guy. But now, though, I think about it, I think I'd be a Raphael guy. Because
yeah.
He didn't take fucking shit from nobody. He fucked people up.
Yeah, the size.
With the size, yeah. You know, he never stabbed anyone with the jaw with one of those, but
you
he should have.
Well, not only that, but I don't think the Ninja Turtles used any other weapons anyways. I think
they just
kicks.
Whooped ass.
Yeah, I mean, like, they already had swords. Did you ever see them stab anybody?
Or cut anyone in half?
No.
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 Fucking lame.
Well, maybe a foot soldier.
They need to do a graphic.
Ninja Turtles?
You know who? Todd McFarlane needs to take over the fucking Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that'd be
just
cool. Yeah.
Make it fucking sick. In any case, I'd bring that lunchbox to school, and some of the kids would give me shit, or, like, not necessarily tease me, but they'd ask, they'd be like, does that look like an animal that's made by God or by Satan? And I'd be like, I don't know, fucking neither. It was drawn up by a comic book person. Or like, I'd get really excited about sharks and dinosaurs, and so I'd bring, a documentary in that I would get, like, remember the eyewitness books?
Yeah.
Or a National Geographic, for that matter. I'd bring one of those videos in. Like, I had the National Geographic one on sharks, and I had the eyewitness one on sharks. And I had something on dinosaurs, whatever. I'd bring those in, and they'd say shit like, over 65 million years, or billion years ago, whatever. No, million, sorry. Yeah, not billion. Over 65 million years ago, dinosaurs, blah, blah, blah. And the whole class would just start laughing. And I'd look around and I'd be like, all right, whatever. And then at the end of the... And then sometimes the teacher would pause it, and sometimes they wouldn't. They let it play. But when they'd pause it, though, they'd be like, all right, now Colby has brought in a video today, And because this is from the public, from, like, you know, the general opinion, they're going to say things that are a little different than the way we teach science and everything. So, in other words, like, if a scientist, you know, it does all this, like carbon, like, dating and trying to find out the real age of shit, they don't, they're going to, like, Seventh-day Adventist, and other people are going to discredit that because, you know, if their book says, that isn't written by scientists is states that the world's only 2,000 years old, then clearly 65 million years is just, that's the biggest joke ever.
Sure.
And I'm not going to argue and say it's exactly 65 million years or whatever, but when all you're relying on is, how old's the world? About 2,000 years? Well, it is old as shit. Yeah, 2,000 years sounds good. Fuck yeah. What about 65 million? That's... how many zeros is that? I don't know. That's a fucking shitload, man. I don't think we can...
So you just brought these videos in for show and tell, or...?
For show and tell, because I was so excited. I mean, I brought shit in almost every other day for show and tell. I'd get so psyched about shit.
Yeah.
What was that?
I have no idea what that was. Maybe the stove?
We're going to take a quick break. I'll just edit. Okay, so I probably should edit that whole bang part out. I shouldn't even be doing this, and I should edit out the first, I don't know, minute or so of where we picked back up, but I thought it was kind of funny. So it was June 29th when this was recorded, and our neighbors started setting off fireworks early. Go America! So, yeah, I whatever. So here's where me and Chris get back on. We try to find out what the hell we were talking about. So here we go. Stuff in for show and tell, but I don't remember where the fuck I was going with it. I don't know if it's important or not.
It is, because it leads up to what I was going to say.
God damn it. Well, what were we, real quick, what were we talking about that set me off? Something about people getting laughed. Oh yeah, okay, the weeds. Okay, there we go. So when Shane bought one or whatever, was talking in class, that just, and he was like defying the teacher by bringing up just logical shit. Well, in this story, like, for example, the funnest, like, probably my favorite Bible story, but also the one that's probably one of the most bullshit and easy to rip apart, is Noah. Because, yeah. Like, you take two of each animal, and it's like, oh, they didn't eat each other, and it's like, just those two animals had to be replicated, and I know there's a lot of, like, gray loophole area, and people can argue whether it's true or false, or if it's just supposed to be metaphorical or whatever. But the point is that you could... You know, it's that one's like hard as fuck to, you know what I mean? Like, it's bullshit.
That was real.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
And so just to hear Shane on that weeds episode talk to the teacher, it just reminded me of being young in a private religious school, which was actually good for me because it's kind of like I had questions answered early at that age. But I remember being different. That, you know, every person that you grow up. And maybe this doesn't happen to some people, and I kind of feel bad for them, but it's like, there are certain times in your life where you realize that you're different. And whether it's like the way you feel, the way you dress, the way you look, whatever. This was the way I thought. Like, we would watch like certain Bible programs, and they would say certain things that contradict. And I'm not talking shit about faith. If you have faith and you're religious and it works for you, that's awesome. But it doesn't, you know, everything that's created by man, you know, just doesn't really work for me. But, like, how old was I? I was probably 7-ish, maybe 8.
So what grade would that be in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Or do they even have grades?
Yeah, they have grades. It's just like regular school, and like, you know, the academia of it is like, I would say a little more advanced. I mean, they make you do like harder math and stuff at like, where compared to like public school. So that's why it was good for me.
Yeah.
And, I was good, and then when I switched over to public school, I was, like, a little bit ahead, and then slowly I, like, dumbed down, and then I just got dumber and dumber. So, yeah, it helped me out, because otherwise it gave me almost, like, a head start, if you will, in public school. Had I not had that, I may not have, yeah, especially in math, whatever.
But, so they would dog you about your Ninja Turtle lunchbox and
your
shark videos.
And all I was going is trying to relate back to the weeds episode with Shane, because it's like, I really like that episode because I totally related with him there. Because to be that young and to know, I'll just say this, to be that young and to know better than a teacher who's like way older than you, that you're supposed to look up to, that you're supposed to you know, soak in like a sponge, basically.
Sure.
To know that, to learn at a young age that adults don't know everything and don't have it all figured out is a scary thing, but it's also a powerful thing because, I don't know.
There's room for us to figure things out.
Yeah, I would say it's more scary than anything because it's like, you remember what it's like. You grow up with your parents and you think they have it all figured out. Or, you know, for the most part, they're going to take care of it. And it's like for the longest time, not for the longest time, but for a long time, I felt like, fuck, my parents are perfect people. And they're really good people, but you realize that nobody's fucking perfect. And what is a perfect person?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck perfection. That's, you know, perfection's bullshit. But what would be a perfect person? And I don't think it's someone who doesn't have any faults. I think it's someone who has faults.
On the daily?
And pros and everything. But it's like, it all just works out. Mm-hmm. Like, overall, they're a good person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. If you do bad things, do good to make up for it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
Are you a believer in karma?
I hope karma exists. I'll just say that. I would say yes. I don't know if I want bad things to happen to bad people.
Sure.
Like people that like those bank fuckers who like, you know, stole from everyone, like, and you know, the mortgage, all that bullshit. I hope they get fucking cancer up the ass and just rot. But basically, people who would fuck over other people just do that, like, I hope they get what they deserve. So if that answers that question about karma, then yeah. It's the world isn't Superman. It's more like Batman. Superman always wins. Superman's good. Evil always gets its ass kicked. Batman usually always wins, but evil is always like, that's why I like Batman. I know I'm going nerdy and kind of going off topic, but Batman's more like real life, man. There's people out there who fighting for good, but one, they're not a perfect person. You know what I mean? Like, the good guy is fucking evil, if you think about it.
You think Batman's evil?
He's hell-bent on revenge.
That is true, because it's...
Saying he's a bad person, but
Batman,
I'm saying...
He's hell-bent on revenge.
I'm saying he's like, he's yeah. in a some... Okay, he's like, you know, he's like this rich dude who wants revenge for his parents. He's almost like Dexter in a way. You ever watch? Hey, we're relating Showtime series. You ever watch Dexter?
Watch Dexter for. You turned me on to Dexter for a minute.
It's pretty cool. I mean, basically, he's a serial killer who kills bad. You could just say he's a serial killer who kills serial killers, but more specifically, he kills like, you know, fucking chimos and like just bad fucking people.
So I mean, he's just kind of like a vigilante.
Yeah. Vigilante. That's like what you'd order at Starbucks.
Yeah. Hello, I'd like to have a large
venti. No, venti.
Wow, vigilante. Yeah, that's bigger than the venti.
That's fucking awesome. We're okay. So weeds. Okay. So, fuck, that went way off. But any faith for the new weeds season for you?
You know, we're
can they turn it around?
We'll see where it goes. I will give you a hint. I'm not going to try to ruin it or nothing like that, just going to say that Anansi kind of moved on from selling drugs.
Oh, okay. Right on. So one of my problems was, obviously, after the fire, everyone, like, split and ran, because it's like the operation, everything was going to get discovered. But it's like they totally, they left characters in the dust, for one. Everyone's going to run away, so I get that and everything. But it's like, they totally left some people behind.
Their time on the season is over, never going to see him again. Like, Conrad and Hilda.
The godmother. What did she call herself?
Hilda?
Yeah. But what is she? She had a nickname or something. For being, like, the big dealer.
No, I don't know.
The mom. And then there was the sister.
And the sister,
but yeah, Conrad and the mom. Those are some of my favorite characters.
Yeah, they're gone. They were gone after season 3.
That's when the fire.
The fire happened. And now those characters are gone. Doug is still around.
Well, he's too funny.
But
what about Doug's? Well, who's the chick who plays Doug's wife? She sort of was on, and now she's
Doug's kinda, wife.
Doug? No, not Doug's wife.
It wasn't Doug. It was Dean.
Dean's wife. Yeah,
Celia.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her since season 4.
Because remember, she started like dealing.
Or season 5.
She was starting her... She basically stole all the people that Nancy used to use and started her own little deal, and then I don't know what happened to that.
Nothing.
That all fell apart.
I think that fell apart.
She was going to, like, steal Nancy's crew, basically.
Honestly, now that I think about it, I don't even remember what happened with that.
You remember, though, they were sitting at a table and
they were
talking.
Sitting at a table and then...
And it was basically she stole her crew. And then, yeah, what the fuck happened?
And then nothing.
Yeah.
It didn't go off.
Weird,
then.
Man.
Yeah, that was the end of that. So, what I think, maybe she's still selling drugs. I really don't know.
You know, at the very least, you could say that the series is written by stoners because it's like, it'll get going good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they'll just fucking forget about people. Like, entire characters. Hey, man, there should be, like, a fucking fire. Hell yeah, dude. And then, like, you know, there's a fire. Everyone, okay, Nancy's run away. You know, the Nancy's the main character, so they're not going to forget about her. But
see,
of course,
and honestly, I have to say this. When I first saw the season, I thought Nancy was hella banging.
Dude, when she started showing skin.
Yeah,
wow,
I thought she was hella banging. But then her stupidity just makes her, like, a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it kind of really
She's just ugly. Like, an ugly person. I ain't ever know.
So let's make predictions now. You think she's either going to end? She's going to this. Is this last season? Because I thought last season.
I thought six was last season, and that's what they had said on the Weeds website. And
right.
Then they came out with
the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, the trailer for season 7.
So do you think she had like to make it to either make the series good or to end it or whatever you want to call it? Do you think she either has to die or go to prison? Or
I want her to die. That bitch needs to die.
Go into hiding or what?
No, that bitch she has to die.
I thought it was fucked up how in the last last season Silas wanted to leave her older son.
Yeah, met his father.
Well, yeah, but he wanted and he had the chance to go or whatever, and then he came back.
And then he came back.
Like I felt bad. Like if shows.
Well, I mean, look what happened when he was in college. Like he was gonna stay in college, met some female.
Yeah.
And then he left her for his mom.
Yeah.
Which, if your mom screws your life up so much, you know. Cut that cord, you know what I'm saying? Like, get out the house, get out that nest.
I think that's probably one of the things that, because I know she has a sour taste in my mouth right now, and yours as well, obviously, but that's probably one of the things where it's like, she was like a cool mom for a while, and then when her kids found out what she did, it was kind of gray there, and then it just slowly, like, she just...
turned into shit.
It was so corrupted and shit, and it's like, then you kind of realize, like, she loves her family, but only if, like, her family works for her.
Exactly.
She's selfish.
Look,
yeah, and she doesn't look it. She doesn't truly... So that's kind of really
technically, no wonder why her first husband had a heart attack.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Trying to support that bitch. Fuck. On another note, we were talking about this earlier in a tangent. I'm going to go back to this because I have a really interesting story that you're just kind of building up to when we shot back to Weeds. Did you ever, when you were in that Seventh Day Adventist church, did you ever like get clowned on for bringing like your turtle lunchbox or anything like that, and then make you not want to ever like bring that like lunchbox ever again? Because I have a story.
I wouldn't say clowned on, but I think I said this earlier when they would ask me, they would look at like they looked at the okay, so the lunchbox was the four Ninja Turtles. I think this was right after the first. I think it was after the second movie came out. The four Ninja Turtles are standing on this rooftop, and I think they're facing, so their backs are to you as the viewer, and they're facing like this super shredder that's in front of them,
right.
And you can see his face. He's kind of in the shadows, and then behind him is like the
he's a building.
He's huge, yeah. It's
huge.
Like it's a weird concept for the cover. But I think this one girl that I'll just call her Lucy, I think she said something like. Colby, do you think that those, she wasn't like negative, but it was basically trying to make me feel bad for bringing it, which did the opposite. It basically turned me like into like what I would refer to as punk rock, like a rebellion, and it made me feel good about it. She'd be like, Colby, I don't want to say anything bad about your lunchbox, and I'm paraphrasing of course, but I don't want to say anything bad about your lunchbox, but if you look at those creatures, do they look like something that's created by God or by Satan? And I looked at them, and I just said this on the podcast. This sounded like a total... I think I just said this like 15 minutes ago, but... And I'd be like, I don't know, they're drawn by a... I don't know. But in any case, I knew what she was trying to do, because the same girl, Lucy, we'll call her... I had a necklace. This is dumb, but... I had a gold necklace that said, I love hockey on it. You know, totally... totally goofball, cheesy. I don't really wear jewelry anymore, but, you know, it was when I was really into hockey, and someone, I think my dad or mom gave it to me or whatever, and I'd wear that, and they don't wear jewelry.
Who doesn't wear
jewelry? Seventh-day Adventists. You're supposed to give, okay, so the money, I don't want to take from your story.
Okay, go ahead, keep going.
But real quick, they're big into tithing, like you know, a lot of religions are, like, you give a lot of your money. Do Mormons do that? Do you know?
No, I don't know, but I know Catholics.
Catholics do. Fuck yeah. Yeah, steal from the collection plate. Yeah, yeah. But, can I be the last one, sir?
I love it.
I'm giving up to the Lord. Yeah, so, they're good people for the most part, like Seventh-day Adventists, but yeah, they're big on, they're big, I mean, you pay your bills, you buy food, I don't remember them. There were a couple families that had money, so they had, like, nice clothes and stuff, but for the most part, they give a shitload of their money up to the church. And so they don't wear, and I don't know if it says in their Bible or however they interpret the Bible or whatever, not to wear jewelry, but they just don't. And I think it has to do with any good thing that you have, you should give to the Lord, as they would say.
So
you don't wear your wealth. So really quick, I wore this necklace, and so they naturally gave me shit like that because I was wearing jewelry. And the same girl who brought up she says,
that Lucy bitch.
Yeah, she said, hey, she was a nice lady. She was also like 9 at the time, 8 or 9, but in any case. She said something like, you know, Colby, you shouldn't wear jewelry or whatever. And I said, I shot back at her. I thought real quick. It was one of the only good quips I've ever had in my life where I was like, she's like, what does it say? And I was like, I love hockey. And she's like, you know, you really shouldn't wear jewelry or whatever. You know, like, Jesus doesn't like that. Or, you know, like, she fucking knew the guy or whatever. But, and I shot back. I was like, at least it doesn't say I love Satan. And she just, like, fucking gave me this puzzled look and walked off. But experiences like that where they tried to clown on me, as you'd say, or whatever, like, it didn't really work. It just turned, like, I was friends with them. Don't get me wrong. We all got along. But like I said, when you realize at a certain age where you're different than other people and beliefs.
What grade were you in, by chance?
I was like 3rd or 4th.
Okay, because
stuff like that, it separated me from them, and it was like this little rebellion that was going on. But it made me feel better about what I did. Like, yeah. I was a fucking Anakin Skywalker in the Jedi the Jedi school, and it's like, you know, you shouldn't use your powers for. Or I was like, who's that bad motherfucker from Harry Potter? Dumbledore? No, who's the bad guy?
Oh,
fuck. He shall not.
That blonde haired bitch. That blonde haired guy.
What's his name? Not that guy. The bad guy.
Oh,
Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Yeah, like, you know, when he was going to school, they probably said, oh, the dark arts are horrible. Like, why do you like anything? You know, it probably turned him on.
I think it's funny that he ended up like Michael Jackson, not even having a nose.
Yeah, right on. I don't even know shit about Harry Potter other than. I get dragged to the last.
So, anyways, my story. You're on the opposite side of what happened to me. You kind of like, you know, had a good pun to shoot back at that girl for kind of, you know, dogging you and whatnot. Me, when I was in third grade, you know, I still loved the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know, up until the end of the third grade, because
you don't like the Ninja Turtles now?
No, I love the Ninja Turtles, but listen, like, that's when the Ninja Turtles died for me, because I begged my mom, and mind you, listeners, I have not told this story to anybody, so...
Exclusive.
Super exclusive. I begged my mom to buy me this Ninja Turtle rain jacket, and it had this hood that had, you know, a Ninja Turtle head with, like, eyes on the hood, and... Yeah, I begged my mom to let me wear that to school. You know, kids are cruel. And I wore that motherfucker to school hella proud because, you know, I love the Ninja Turtles. Looking back at it now, I probably shouldn't have. But fuck that. I was down with the Turtles. And wore it to school and some big sixth grader grabbed me and called me a fag. In the third grade. I didn't even know what a fag was back then, but... I know I didn't like it, and he called me gay for wearing a Ninja Turtle jacket, rain jacket, and pushed me down to the mud.
Aww.
Horrible, right? And, yeah, that was probably when the Ninja Turtles died for me. I never wore that jacket, nor really played with my turtles ever again. How fucked up is that?
That's really fucked up. Two quick questions, and this is, I'm trying not to be biased here. One, was he Mormon? Because you grew up in Salt Lake.
You know, he could have been.
Actually, you don't know him? No, did you know the kid?
No, he was just a sixth grader.
Cocksucker. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of zeroes out my second question, but I'll answer that, or I'll ask it real quick. Do you happen to know his name?
I don't. At all?
God damn it. You know what would be the... Okay, you want to talk about fucking karma? You and me go back there, we dress up like Ninja Turtles and beat the shit out of it.
Yep, beat the shit out of it.
Like, yeah, motherfucker.
But yeah, I mean, thinking about that jacket now...
Cowabunga!
I don't even know if I could find that jacket on eBay or not, but... That was a badass jacket, and all the kids now, like the scene kids, would love that shit.
Ninja Turtles blew up again, dude.
But back then, fuck no. It means you get your ass stomped in the schoolyard, pushed out in mud. I didn't even go back to school that day. I was fucked up in mud, you know?
I feel bad for you, man. I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, but I had to bring that up.
That's dude, what is it with kids, like?
Kids picking with kids, but now kids don't even play with toys. Kids don't even play with
action figures and shit.
Yeah, I don't think
really
so.
Really, at a certain age. Every now and then, I go down like the action figure aisle, and I'm disappointed every time.
Yeah.
Mainly because there's not other little kids down there, you know. And I'm I'm disappointed because they have they have series that I don't recognize, so it's like it's half of it's like I don't get any satisfaction from being reminded of something from my childhood. Sure. That's still being continued. Like, G.I. Joe's is still on, but it's, like, not the same.
It's not
like, everything that was there when I was a kid has changed. A lot of it's gotten cheaper looking. And then the new stuff that's out, it's just not as, like, cool. Like, action figures used to be, like... Like, some action figures I'd buy... Okay, now, I kind of feel bad on some parts because I know you have some action figures you never opened. So they're going to be worth some bucks. They already are, and, you know, they'll be worth a lot. Like, you have that one that's... I think it's all Marvel, and it's like 10 different action figures, right?
I think it's 8.
But they're all legit. Never been opened. Yeah, it's like, it's open. Badass. Okay, me, if someone bought me that shit's fucking open in the car, and I'm like smacking them together. Now, granted, my action figures are in good shape, but it's like, if they're out of the package, they're not worth shit.
No, you can't say that. Some are worth.
But it's bucks. Not, but I'm going to get like, okay, if I go to sell it, I'm going to get like a fraction of what I would have had it been in the original.
Very true that, but I just recently saw this, do you remember Stretch Armstrong?
Yeah.
Well, there is a creature that was a snake.
They just found its head and they sold the head.
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars is badass.
For like $2,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you find
the old guy's like, what the fuck, you bought this thing? This isn't going to get shit.
Piece of plastic. Man, I love that old man, though.
Yeah, what's his name?
Old man.
He's badass. He's funny as fuck because he just rips on everything that they bought.
Especially Chumley.
Oh, Jesus. Good show. It's crazy what's on TV now, dude. Like,
back to the whole toy thing, do you still have all your...
I do, and I'm going to try to bring them here. The action figures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I never got rid of
shit. If you do that, man, use that back room, that corner room.
Hell yeah.
And put them all in the little shelves. Light that shit up.
Not you, Steve Austin.
Yeah, fuck you, Steve
Austin. You're Sting. No, isn't that from 40-Year-Old Virgin where he goes to sell everyone? And he's like, no, not you, Steve Austin. He doesn't sell Steve Austin.
And mind you, not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No. It's the $6 million man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Beep, beep, beep. Hello, Buck. Has your dad ever talked about Buck Rogers to you?
Who's Buck Rogers?
Yeah, never mind. He was like a 21st century spaceman adventurer or something. It was show.
Was it like Flash Gordon?
I think it predates that. But yeah, your dad would know it if you brought it up. But my dad still has his Buck Rogers like little space set and. Something else. It's not an awesome shape, but it's definitely worth something because he has the original Bach, but he played with it too. But yeah, what were we talking about? Action figures and playing with. Oh, I could. Yeah, I just couldn't resist. Okay, so action figures used to be badass, and some of them I would feel bad about opening and playing with because it's like some of them were like nice, you know, and it's like, you know, if you ever scuffed up the, you know, the paint on or whatever, it's like whatever, but. You almost feel bad for playing with those, but it's like these, you look at them and it's like, these aren't going to be worth shit, the ones that are coming out now.
Real garbage.
I don't know. Like, I remember when, and I know they're still out there, but I don't think they're in full swing like they used to be, but all the, I brought them up earlier, but I'll bring them up again. The Todd McFarlane toys, like the Spawn toys.
Oh, yeah, the Spawn
toys. Those were so hella detailed.
Yeah, I love those toys. The dragons.
Yeah, I had several of those, and I opened every one. I should have just kept them in the box, dude, because those will be worth some fucking money. But I opened every one.
It's hard for kids not to open.
Because they're badass. I wanted to look at it. And I play. The thing about the Spawn toys is, like, you could play with them, but not like other action figures, because they didn't bend as well. They were, I mean, they were you could display them, you could take them out. Like most people would keep them in the box, but you can take them out and display them and look at them and stuff, but they're really not made to be played with. They're, if you take them out, you like put them on something and you just like leave it like a, you know,
like a trophy.
Trophy. Yeah, exactly.
I bought this.
Yeah. But his toys were bad. I mean, the characters were evil looking, like fucking
the Violator.
They all look different. Yeah. The
Violator or Vindicator?
Violator. Yeah. You've been violated, girly man.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you ever tried to watch that movie again?
I've been wanting to watch it. Is it good or?
It still is, but like, okay, so when it, okay, so parts of it are cheesy, of course. But if you like Spawn, I say you like the movie because they did a pretty good job. But when it first came out, I thought the special effects were like the fucking best. This goes back to video games.
Well, I mean, like the special effects on the cover actually says, you know, the year's biggest special effect movie.
Yeah, yeah. But you look at them now, just like video games, like we were talking. You look at anything that's in the past, like. Back then, you thought it was the shit, and it's just a proof of how far technology advances now. It's like, you look at the special effects now at that movie, and people, some people, I would say, if they watch it again, they would turn it off just because the special effects aren't up to par anymore. Just because of that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be a true fan to keep watching it.
But for me, like, the cheesiness of movies and special effects, to me, that's what makes the movie. You know what I mean?
True.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah.
I knew Chewbacca was the suit. I knew that when I first watched it.
Yeah, but that's too good though. I think that one lasts the test of time. I think
Chewbacca.
Yeah, dude. I mean, some of it's crazy, but
the Ewoks.
It's fucking good. The Ewoks is funny as fuck.
You know, I knew those were midgets.
Yeah. But well,
it made the movie for me though. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I technically just watched The Labyrinth the other day. You know, with Davy Bowie's Moose Knuckle.
Uh-uh. Oh, Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth.
That's one of your favorite movies, isn't it?
That is one of my favorite movies, actually.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Never seen
it. So you've never seen David Bowie's Moose Knuckle?
No. I've seen David Bowie in another movie, but I forget what it is.
You know, and the special effects in that are horrible.
Really?
I mean, they're not so horrible, but I mean, they're pretty bad. They're not as bad as, like, Mega Shark.
Do they ruin the movie, though? I mean, you might laugh at them in certain scenes, but does it make you want to turn the movie off because they're
not
bad?
No, because it's a good movie.
Okay, so, and I'm not talking shit about the Spawn movie, because, again, I would watch it, but for some people, like I said, that would ruin the movie for them.
Yeah.
But I remember back in, when did that come out, like, 97, 98, Spawn the movie?
Maybe 96.
Really? Yeah, it could be, around that time.
Maybe 96.
But I remember, like, the chains I thought were badass, and, like, when his cape went over his motorcycle and, like, became, like, this...
Dude,
that's the cool... That was... I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he destroyed that vacuum truck, didn't
he? I was like, dude, yeah, he fucked it up, yeah. I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. And now you watch it, and it's like, oh, God, like, this is rough. But it's still cool, but it's...
I honestly would want to watch it. Matter of fact, I might rent that tonight.
Yeah. No, it's still... I would say it's still badass.
I just rented since we're on movies now, moving on.
Right.
I rented a movie called, I knew I shouldn't have rented it, and I knew it was going to be a horrible movie, but I rented it anyways. Me and my girlfriend rented a movie called MILF. And,
anybody in it that is known? I haven't heard of this.
You know, I thought the kid, one of the main kids was, Elijah from Clerks 2. But no, dude, this movie, I wouldn't even wipe my ass with this movie. It was the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life. Almost as bad. No, I'm gonna say just as bad as Operation Condor 2.
Holy shit, that was bad.
Yeah.
Is it this year that it came out?
I think so. The only reason why I got the movie is because on the back of it advertises that it's the same kind of comedy or just as funny as The Hangover. And super bad.
Okay, you didn't like The Hangover, though, I thought. Is that it?
That is it right there, yeah.
The MILF.
It's not the movie. The MILF.
The movie poster, the tagline is, "They really do know best." I dig that. So it wasn't good at all, huh?
No, it wasn't good at all. To me, honestly, it was a horrible version of a Skinamax film. You know, a lot of the females, or excuse me, a lot of the MILFs weren't really attractive. There were some cheesy-ass jokes in it. I'll say this. The main MILF that's fucking one of the best friends is, or one of the friends' is best friend or whatever, you know, she's decent, but a lot of the other chicks kind of look like they got beat up with a bat. Or a lot of fake tits, you know? It's pretty much a jerk film for any 13, 14-year-old
oh, right on.
Kid.
So it does serve a purpose.
It does serve a purpose, but not really for nighttime main movie watching, you know what I mean?
I don't recognize any of the names on the cast. Now that I said that, probably 10 of them would go on to be like the greatest actors of all time. But yeah, there's no one I recognize, so it's one of those. I've had some of my best, some of the best movies I've ever seen. Okay, why did you rent it? Did you just see it and rent it, or did you see a preview and want to see it?
Well, no, actually, we got this rental free for a Blockbuster. You know, you watch one movie, you can turn it back any time of the day. It gives many rentals for free for a month.
That's cool.
And so we're kind of running out of movies. And I saw that, and I figured, you know, older women, hey, you know, let's give it a shot. My girlfriend said, yeah, let's get that. And yeah, we actually turned that motherfucker off.
After how long?
I don't know, maybe like 40 minutes.
Really? Wow.
And we wanted to see if it got any better, but it was just like cheesy sex scene after cheesy sex scene. The one funny scene, though, that I have to say is, the guy's fucking his best friend's mom, and right before he comes, he puts his dick in this hole in the wall, like a glory hole, and it's into the room of this jock, and the jock is like peeking through the hole to see what the hell is going on, and he gets a face full of some man cream.
Nice.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, shit.
But besides that, I mean, it was pretty bad. There was a guy that was trying to act like there was a character that was acting like Austin Powers and like an English guy. Just total horrible acting.
Yeah, there's been movies like this never used to happen to me. Maybe just because it's like you're growing up and you get you know, a certain sense of taste that can then become offended or whatever. But I never used to turn off movies or anything like that. I would like pretty much finish every movie. But lately, there's been a shitload of movies where I'll watch maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll just turn it off. However, and I was talking to you, I think I was talking to you on the phone earlier in the week about, I'm getting to the point where I think there's a chance, oh, we were talking about the latest Pirates movie.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I might, and I'm going to sound weird, but, I want to start, like, walking out of movies in the theater. And I've never done that because I haven't seen a movie in the theater that's that bad yet, I don't think. But I also don't think I've done it because I've seen other people do it, and they do it, like, so distastefully. Like, I've seen people get up. Now, I've seen it, and it's been funny when they do it. But I've seen it when they'll just get up and, like, shake their head, and they'll, like, say something stupid on the way out, like, this is horrible, or this is dog shit. And I'm like, you know, that's, although no one that made the movie is here, that's kind of disrespectful. And it's also,
to the other people.
And it's also kind of disrespectful to the people that are still there watching it, because it's like, hey, man, I like this dog shit.
Yeah.
But when Pirates was going on, because it's just, and I'm not going to drag on about that movie, but it's just, you know, I didn't think it was good. I thought at several points, I was like, you know, I should just leave. I'm not missing anything. But, you think in the back of your head, did you see that in theaters?
No, I bootlegged it, actually,
because
you told me it was that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, at my home, like, I wanted to leave my house because it was that bad.
I'm going to go for a walk.
Yeah.
But I want to know, if I ever walk out on a movie, I want to know what movie that's going to be.
What was one of the last movies that you saw people walk out in, if you can remember? Because I know you and Lace, you guys go out and...
Yeah. There's been several movies, but the one that comes to mind, which is actually a funny time. Okay, so this is 2000. When did Borat come out? It was Borat.
Okay.
2007?
Yeah, like 4 years ago, I think.
So when that came out, okay, so it was. Now, just whatever anyone says about the movie now, who cares? But when it first came out, it fucking blew up.
Yeah.
And everyone was quoting that shit, and it was like, you know, it was Hayfire or Hayfire, whatever. It was crazy. And funny thing, though, opening weekend, there was one theater in Portland, and I'm talking about the Portland metropolitan area in all. I saw, like, a, I don't know, I saw, I knew about Sacha Baron Cohen's characters from...
The Allergy Show.
Yeah. Did I get his name right? Sacha Cohen Baron?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, right. He has three names, Anyways. I knew about his characters from that show because I've seen it, and I thought Allergy was fucking hilarious. I didn't know. I knew that that Borat was a character, but I didn't know shit about it. But then I saw a little preview of it online, and I was like, I gotta go see this. And thinking, hey, we'll be able to go to any old theater, you know, in the whole Portland metropolitan area. One theater was showing it, and I think it was because, you know, a lot of theater owners with certain. The Hermiston one is horrible about this. Like, he won't. Whoever the owner is,
yeah,
he won't show certain movies. Like, if it's like. Too urban, you know, if there's like, if it's like, you know, black people in the movie, like, I'll just fucking say that. Like, he's like, I don't know who the fuck it is, but he won't show certain movies just based on some fucked up shit like that. But in any case, did they show Borat and Hermiston? Do you remember?
I wasn't here when they showed it.
In any case, I bet not. I bet people had to go to Tri-State. Whatever. So
they didn't show Black Snake Moan in Hermiston.
No shit.
Yeah, that's
a decent movie.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie. They didn't show that.
They didn't show it.
Really?
No.
That's fucking hot. No. Fuck. I'll say that. That's a hot fucking movie. It's kind of weird, but Christina Ricci. Like,
would you fuck Christina Ricci? Would you fuck her then, or would you fuck her back in Casper?
Oh god. Oh, give me a time machine. I'll just fuck. Well, provided I'm single and all that, I'll have like a time, like a fucking time machine.
So you go back down to like when she would play Wednesday.
Oh fuck yeah! I'll be her. I'll give her the Pugsley.
The first.
I'll give her the Pugsley. Or the it. Me. No. Oh yeah, she's fucking hot in that movie. But in any case, all right. So one theater in Portland was showing Borat the opening weekend, and then of course the next weekends they were all playing it, but. You know what I mean? It was almost like they were taking a gamble. It was like to see how popular the movie would be. And that was the Lloyd Regal, which is not the one in the mall, but the one by the Max. The one across the street.
So the nice theater.
The big one,
yeah.
And it was in their main. It was only showing in one theater there, you know, as opposed to like two different ones or whatever. But it was in the main, like, big-ass theater. Fucking thing was packed, of course, because it's like a lot of people wanted to see that movie.
Sure.
Like, I remember we had bought our tickets early because I figured, babe, this movie's probably going to be good. So we bought tickets. We came back and people were like walking away pissed because it's like it was sold out every show. And there was also a line to get tickets. Anyways, so there were like, that was like a crazy night to begin with just because like we thought we were going to see this crazy movie, you know? And there were people like, I specifically remember people passing, first time I'd ever seen this, but it was, they were passing flasks around in the theater. And I'd heard of people drinking in theaters, and
Have you ever drank
in a theater? I've partaken in it once. Yeah. It's all right. But that was the first time I ever saw it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck kind of place is this, you know? And I'd been to that. In any case, whatever. So the movie starts, and it's all this, like, crazy shit, and everyone's fucking laughing, going apeshit. There's, like, you know, there's offensive shit. There's, you know, he starts off, and it's like, there's... His sister's a prostitute jokes.
And
he's like,
fucking his sister.
And and like, you know, his brother raped his sister and like fucking, you know, and there's like all this anti-Semitic shit.
Anti-Jew.
Yeah, anti-Semitic shit. All right, so no one walks out at these parts. Funny. Until one of the funniest parts of the whole fucking movie, finally this like older couple, I won't say old, let's more specific. They were probably... 45-ish, 50-ish, 55.
So, like
between 45 to 50. Yeah, I think. Yeah, middle age. This is what I don't get. All right, so the funniest scene of the whole fucking movie is when they're in the hotel, they're naked, and the fucking, his manager or whatever puts his balls in his face. That's one of the funniest... Now, granted, I think some of the movie's bullshit now, and people now know that some of it's staged. Regardless, you know, I probably won't watch it again, you know, maybe once in a blue moon.
Sure.
But when it came out, I mean, it was dynamite. But, yeah, that scene will still always be funny. But I remember some people around me being offended and, you know, being, oh, gross. And, like, a lot of people were covering their face. I was fucking hurting. Like, I couldn't even make sound because I was laughing that hard.
So now, with that being said, did you see Bruno?
I did see Bruno, but not in theaters. And, you know, he played on the same cards as far as, like, he knew he got a reaction from the whole, like, gay thing.
Yeah.
And, And Bruno was not as good, I don't think, by a long shot. It was still funny, but I don't think it was as good just because it's like he kind of knew
what to go off.
He knew what strings to plug pull. On. Yeah, but I mean, the movie was all right, but it wasn't. I don't think it was as good as Borat. But in any case, I saw these people when that nutsack hit him in the face or whatever, they were fucking up and out, and they were both just shaking their head, and they were like, I swear to God, from what I remember, it was almost as if they were trying to run away from it. But this is what's funny to me. All right, you have like all these jokes up front, you have this like clear anti-Semitic, anti-Jew like stuff, just hatred, you know, and it's in satire, like he's saying as though he really believes it, but really, you know, I mean,
he really doesn't.
Right, I mean, he's more or less like making
isn't
fun.
Isn't he Jewish?
Well, Cohen is a Jewish last name,
so I'm pretty sure.
So I don't know if he is Jewish or if he's a practicing Jew.
Or is a Jew? Yeah.
I don't know if he's a practicing Jew, but Cohen is a fucking. That's a. If I hired a lawyer, I would specifically find a Cohen Jew lawyer. But they sat through that. They sat through all the other bullshit. They knew there was some gay shit going on because he goes to the gay pride parade with the fist thing earlier. Like he saw. And what will make people finally leave a theater is fucking
this nutsack in on a face.
It's like, seriously, the world is out of whack.
Now, for me, the only movie that I witnessed people walking out on was actually another movie that I rented last night, and I have to admit, when I first watched this movie, I either fell asleep or I didn't really laugh that hard, and I really hated the movie until I finally made my ass watch the entire movie, and to this day, I still think it's one of the funniest movies that I've ever seen in my entire life, and that would be Kung Pao, Into the Fist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that movie is pure fucking genius.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pure genius, like the Asian jokes in that, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
But I was at a movie theater and people walked out of that movie probably like 15, 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Doesn't that same guy do the thumb one movies too? Am I thinking about the wrong movie? Kung Pao. Is that the one? That's not the one with the two gangs. That's the one
That's Kung Fu Hustle. That is
amazing. That one's okay. Kung Pao is the one where he took segments of old movies and just redubbed it, and then
he just dubbed over.
That guy also makes those fucking thumb movies. Okay. Anyways, yeah.
But anyways, you know, that's genius of what he did to that movie. I mean, it's fucking hilarious. And
what's his name? Is it like Bob Odenkirk? Something weird like
Steve.
That, right?
Steve
Odenkirk.
Yeah.
How do I remember? I remember his last name, but I don't remember.
Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hilarious shit. But you know, to me, I just don't think that they're coming out with that type of comedy anymore.
People walked out on that movie.
People walked out on that movie.
Really?
Yeah, probably about half the theater actually walked out when I was there.
Where did you see that?
Hermiston.
No shit.
Yeah. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They were just like, why are their mouths moving and like words are coming out? And it's just like, you obviously don't watch Kung Fu. I mean, that's just a complete genius, you know? Yeah.
Oh, it totally is.
With having a, you know, one of my favorite teams is like, this character named Wimplo is talking to this guy, and you're like, who is he? Have you seen him? And the other guy, his mouth is moving for about a good, I don't know, 20 seconds.
Right.
And the only thing that he says is, I don't know.
Right.
You know, that's just hilarious, right. You know? Or the dog will bark. You'll see the dog bark, but the bark doesn't come until like 15 seconds after the dog moved
right.
his mouth. You know, that's hilarious shit.
It's amazing, right?
You know, but nowadays, like, you know, I'll bring this up real quick. You know, The Hangover 2, and I don't care if I get a lot of hate mail, you know, from this. And you can email me at killak503@gmail.com if you want to talk about this, but. Honestly, that movie was a piece of crap. And the only thing that they paid off on that movie, the big hype of that movie, honestly, was sex. And it was dick. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wanted to go look at dick, you should have went to that naked bike ride.
Hell yeah.
You know, and saw the same shit. But, you know, seeing a guy's little Asian dick and then going to Bangkok and then seeing dudes with tits instead of chicks with dicks... It's dudes with tits.
It's called Bangkok, not Bang Cunt. Isn't that what that shemale says?
Yeah, I think so. It's not even a female dude. It's a dude that took estrogen pills so they have tits. That's what it is. Because it wasn't a hermaphrodite. And that's a chick with a dick.
Oh, is that what you define as a shemale?
Yeah.
Is that a chick with a dick?
That's a chick with a dick.
Oh, right on. Well, I guess you're right. I'm so
because they have both
I'm
parts.
I'm so out of the loop with, yeah, right on.
But it's a dude with tits, which is kind of gross. And that shit's funny. It's funny in its own way, but, you know, I like dry, stupid comedy, I guess. And that's just my opinion, you know. My taste. My flavor.
I went and saw a movie, I agree. I didn't like The Hangover 2, and I've already talked about that. Like, it's just,
it's a dead horse.
Yeah, I don't know if movies are one of those. Okay, so I like the first Hangover, and it's a good, you know, it's a good recipe and everything. But I don't think movies are those. This is funny because I was thinking about this earlier this week. In any art form, you might just say certain professions. There's two types. Think of and there's probably more, but whatever. For this, we'll keep it simple. So for one of the types, think of it as you're a geneticist. So basically, you make the building blocks that creates the final product. But I mean, you see it from like the molecules and up. Like you see it from the very thing that it is until
from
the whole
beginning.
Thing up, right? And then think of the other type of person or creator or job type, whatever. As a baker. Now, not to say that a baker or a and I don't want to use the term chef because chef can make up new recipes and they're more or less, I would say that certain chefs are more or less geneticists, but they're limited geneticists. So what I'm getting at with this is that there are certain art forms, and I'll just, okay, so where I was going with this is I was listening to, like, some band, and I don't remember the music, but it was, like, it was a rock band, and I don't remember who the fuck it was. It's a newer band, but it sounds like an older band, and I'm thinking, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel. I mean, the song is good, it sounds cool.
Sure.
But, like, they're just, they grew up listening to, like, this older band, like, say it was AC/DC
or
Thin Lizzy
Journey.
Or Kiss or whoever, Journey, whatever. They made really good music, and they're like, hey, all we got to do is kind of sound like them, make a different sounding song, and it's like, we'll make it. And sure enough, they did. They were playing on the radio. But that's the first thought I had, is like, this is a good song, but it sounds a lot like this other song, as, you know, rock and roll rips off of itself over and over again.
Well, like any genre does that, though.
A lot of genre. But that's where I started thinking, all right, so I would say the majority of musicians are bakers, in that they have... you know, you grow up listening. I'm guilty of this, of course. They, you know, I grow up listening to certain song or certain bands or whatever. And when I go to write a song, I don't try to rip off a band or whatever. But it's like you can't help but be influenced by something.
Sure.
So it's like you're gonna, you know, there's certain sounds you like, so you use those sounds. And you know, in any case, a lot of bands I think are big now. Now, say whether it's musicians or painters or whatever, then there's like those geneticists, the ones that make fucking genres. Whenever you're given the title of the grandfather of, those are like the geneticists. So I'm kind of going off on a different tangent, but basically, I don't think movies, you can be like, especially, I guess this just goes along with the rule of thumb with sequels for the most part. Now, some sequels are badass, but for the most part, they suck. Is that you can't be a baker and be a director. In that, like, all right, you came out with a movie, you had three funny dudes, you had this, a pretty good story. It was flowing.
Yeah.
Is it the greatest movie of all time? No, but it was good, it was successful, whatever. So to come up with a sequel and to think you can use that exact fucking recipe, and I'm talking about, like, I'm talking about, like the 80s Karate Kid, and Will Smith's kid, Karate Kid, like the same. The only thing's difference is, he's in an Asian country.
He's black.
And he's black, you know what I mean? But I mean, seriously, The Hangover, it's like the same characters. They're in an Asian country. Oh, and one of them's like marrying, there for a wedding to marry an Asian chick. Like, that's pretty much the difference. There's little things.
Well, you know, that goes towards a lot of the movies that they're redoing too as well, like Tron.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Yogi Bear.
But it's not going to work, though. That's what I mean. Like, you can't be a baker. You have to be a geneticist.
Yeah.
You have to... You have to reinvent the wheel.
Make something new. Characters. Make something memorable.
Yeah.
Don't try to make something out of somebody else's idea.
But it's funny though. This is the dark side of it. Obviously, a lot of people in the movie business are there to make money. So based off of the wave, we'll call it, of the first Hangover, a lot of people like myself. Are going to go see the sequel because the first one was so good. Am I going to go see the third one if they make a third one?
Fuck no.
No, I might watch it when it comes out. I might like burn it or whatever, or like rent it or when it comes out. But it's like, yeah, I'm not going to go to the theater now. Yeah. But in any case, isn't that correct? But based off of the success of the first one, a lot of people went and they're still probably going to see the second one, even though I haven't seen reviews, but most people I've talked to didn't really like it. But if that one makes enough money, there's going to be pressure to do a third one. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what the fuck? Which I doubt will happen, but it's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Like,
so, wow, when was the last movie, moving forward off of that crap topic?
Yeah. I wasn't going to, like, go on about it and sure shit.
What was the last movie that you went and saw in the theaters? Or what is the movie that you do want to see that's in theaters?
Oh,
Cars 2?
Fucking no. What's out right now?
Super 8?
Well, okay, so that's the movie I last saw. I last saw it, like, Friday or Saturday, I don't remember. I didn't think I was going to go see it. It looked kind of good, but I was like, I'll probably just wait
Super
for
8?
It.
Super 8?
Yeah, Super 8.
How was it?
Lacey wanted to see it, so we saw it. It's badass.
It's pretty badass.
What's
it about again? It's about kids, right?
It's kids that are making this movie, and it's one of those where you can't give too much away. It's not like... It's original, but it's playing on old... topics or themes or genres. It's just, but I mean, the story's really badass. It's made really well.
Was it kind of like a new age Goonies?
Sir, I would say that is probably, yes, I would say that's probably the best. Where did you get that? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, actually.
Have you heard someone else say that?
No.
Holy fuck. That is exactly what I would fucking say. It's a little, it's darker than the Goonies. But
the Goonies is pretty dark.
But the kid, there's parts of the Goonies that's dark, but this is darker. Anything that comes out these days is dark. It just has like a more, like, did you see fucking WALL-E?
Yeah.
There's some dark elements in that. Up.
Actually, yeah.
Up
actually
dark
made
shit in there. Yeah,
But WALL-E, I have to say this real quick. That technically is the last movie that I saw people walk out on.
No shit.
Yeah,
that shit's coming true, dude.
And yeah, it is, and it made me fucking laugh because,
fat people get up and leave out of the theater.
That was most of the people that were in the movie theater, and like, they
fuck
were,
this,
they were
my bones aren't separated.
They were thinking, you know, oh, I'm gonna go see this cute, funky ass little robot, you know, in the movie, and then the movie dogs on fat people, and seriously, about.
Dogs on fat people?
Yeah, it makes fun of fat people. You're fat.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's talk about that real quick. All right, it's not cool to make fun of fat people. I will go out and say that. But when I say fat people and I'm talking about WALL-E, we're not talking about just fucking fat people. We're talking about people that sit down all fucking day. You know how they change their clothes? They hit a button in it and their suit changes color. They drink every fucking meal like it's a Slurpee.
Like
you need to see WALL-E because it's cute, it's beautiful, it's kind of sad.
And it's actually a good movie.
And it's a good fucking movie. But in any case, it's kind of sort of coming true. So if you get offended by that fat shit, then you are the fucking problem. And I'm not talking about, if anyone out there, we're getting more and more listeners. But not to offend, you know, people that are bigger, that's cool. I'm not talking about a little bit of fat if you haven't seen WALL-E. I'm talking about like, God, you should have died already, basically, like that kind of...
It's almost like a hover-around chair.
Jesus, it's... Oh,
like
it's,
people who have a hover-around chair.
It's,
that don't,
oh, what's
don't
that fucking thing?
Use a hover-around chair.
Segways where you could lay down on it.
What?
It's like a
lay down segway.
I mean, it's one of
honestly, I make fun of people who ride Segways.
Yeah, fuck
you
Segways.
Why do you need a Segway? You have a pair of fucking legs.
Yeah.
Put on some rollerblades.
Have you ever been to a mall where they have mall
Segway cops?
Segway?
Yeah.
Dude, if there's nothing that... Okay, first of all, the mall cops shouldn't be allowed to wear the round browns, even though they're not brown. But it's like, you know, they wear those hats.
I actually confronted a security guard, and I was like, so do you have a special class to get that hat? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I mean, is there a certain course that you have to use to, or take to get that hat? Like maybe a flashlight course or a whistle course?
I don't disrespect. I don't ever like disrespect them in public because I'm not the type of person. But
I take that hat
like that shape of that hat very seriously because of basic training.
Sure.
And it's like I look at it as a whether or not I like every single. I like pretty much every drill sergeant I've ever had.
I'll say that.
But I take it as when I see someone wearing that hat, I want to give them respect. But then you kind of look down and then you look down some more and you look down. And when it's some motherfucker who, hey, speaking of which, looks like they're from the movie WALL-E and they're wearing that hat and they couldn't chase a fucking, you know, a thief to save their life. It's like, come on, man, granted it's a job and it's a shit job.
They're just trying to get by.
Don't wear the fucking hat. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm glad you're here because if shit goes down, hopefully the person with the gun tries to take you out while I can run away because you're you ever just run out of steam with something you're saying? But don't wear the fucking hat. If anyone's ever been to basic training, they know that it's called a round brown, even though the ones that they wear in the mall are usually blue or whatever.
Black.
But the shape of the fucking hat, like after you've been yelled at and like you basically, your eyes become detectors of that. Anytime that's around, your arms are like fucking snapped behind you and shit. And anywhere you go for the rest of your life, I'm convinced. Anytime you see that hat, there's going to be this little voice inside of you like that's going to say, call it ease or like fucking make sure no one's in their way or you're not doing something stupid.
Get the fuck out of the way, asshole!
Make a hole! But you see it in a mall and you're just like, man, the world's a joke. You know what I mean? Like, some things should be, I don't know, some things are sacred. Maybe not. Because then you showed me some photos of people that were wearing it.
Wait, who was wearing it?
I think you and Tran.
Yeah.
Fuck, that was funny, dude.
Yeah, we broke into
that. We did the hole.
We broke into the drill sergeant.
Oh, jeez. We had people do it at ours, too, but I wouldn't be caught dead doing that shit. We had people steal fucking coins out of the drill sergeant office.
That's fucking nuts.
Coins that they earned in fucking battle.
That's fucking nuts.
Long story short, one of our drill sergeants pulled some dude out of a Humvee that just got blown over, and they were taking fire. Pulled some dude out of it, got a fucking coin for it. Someone stole that coin. Now, shouldn't have stole it. It was a dumb move, but in their defense, if they get any defense, they didn't know what the coin was given for, but it just obviously...
Did they get caught?
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, first of all, they noticed it was missing. They call us out in formation. Who took the coin? Blah, blah, blah. We all get smoked for, like, seriously 45 minutes. Okay, everyone go...
Honestly, if it was my smoking, it was my coin, I would have fucking smoked them until I couldn't no more.
Everyone go back into the barracks. You guys, he's like, I don't remember what he said, but it was something along the lines of, for the piece of shit who took it, you obviously didn't know what you're taking. I'm going to tell, this is to make the person feel bad, awesome. Which, you know, some of the things you learn in life is just awesome. Like, sometimes when you pay attention, you pull things out of life lessons that you wouldn't learn in any other way. And one way to get people to like, and maybe this is common sense, but whatever, this is how I learned it. One way to get people to fess up is just to make them feel that small. I mean, just nothing. Make them feel like total shit, like absolutely nothing. So long story short, he said something along the lines of, you know, you had no idea what you took, but I'm just going to share this story, and then I'm going to let you guys go up into the barracks, and I'm not going to be around my office. I just want the coin back on my desk or in my box or mailbox or whatever. And, of course, the coin showed up. But basically, he went on to tell us all about this dude he pulled from a Humvee while taking a fire, and you're just thinking like, okay, when you do stuff like that and it's that good of a story and obviously we believed it, whether it was bullshit or not, we had no idea. We were just going off his word. But the point is you don't steal. But in any case, it almost makes like you fucking stole it. You're just like, God damn, let's get him that coin back, because it's like, you realize that some people have been put in
situations
in life where some shit that you would have no idea how you would react. And they were put in that position, and they fucking reacted, and they were meddled for. I mean, the coin is bullshit. The cool part is that guy knows what he's like when he's fucking under fire. He's the type of person that's going to pull your ass.
I think that the coin's a bullshit coin, like you said, but with the coin, it signifies what you did. You know, it kind of makes a memory.
The coin is bullshit to him. To him, it's like he knows the type. Like, he's going to, like, save his brothers and stuff. But, I mean, to take that coin is a slap in the face and like, disrespect. But, dude, seriously, that's something I learned. If someone takes your shit and you can group the people up, you just make them all feel like shit. And that shit will come back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking there. Like, we got called back out in formation. And he's like, all right, I don't want to know who it was, but it's not going to happen again, is it? And we were all like, yes, blah, blah, blah. And then we got our ass smoked again, of course.
Oh, fuck.
But, you know, if the person had been caught, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. If you all would have known who stole the coin after hearing that story, would you have fucking ratted this
sock
ass
party?
Out?
Yeah. What do they call it?
Blanket
party. Blanket
party. Not really blanket
party.
Oh, but
ratted them out? Yeah. I don't know, maybe. I went with so many. Maybe you did too. There were so many fuck ups. We got part of the. I think one of the only reasons we passed our PT test was just from being smoked, from people being stupid. Where had people just kept their mouth shut, we wouldn't have been doing as many push ups, and we may not have been as good at them. But I don't know. We, needless to say, there were so many fuck ups that it could have been
anybody.
It could have been 15 people that I don't remember all their names, but I'll never forget their faces.
Yeah.
It could have been any one of them, so who knows.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how
I took it. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't me.
Unfortunately, that's kind of what happens in life too, is me and my girl were just talking about this too. You know, you meet friends in high school and you know people's names in high school.
Yeah.
And you progress and a year goes by that you're not in high school.
Yeah.
2 years go by. 3 years go by.
How quickly they fade away.
And you don't remember what people's last names are, what people's names are.
But in some weird ways, you're either reunited with people who you become friends with, or you never lose touch with the people that you truly do make a connection with.
Sure. Like really good friends.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing about life. Like, do you ever wonder, you know, I mean, we're here, and it's like we meet each other and stuff, and sometimes we gel, sometimes we don't. But it's interesting that we meet the people that we do at certain times in our life.
Sure.
Especially times of transition. Like how we met. I mean, like, you were new to, like, Hermiston, and we met, like our second year going into middle school, which is also, like, another form of transition. You're getting older, and you're getting, you know, you're around girls that are getting boobs, another time of transition. And, you go from not wanting to be around those girls to, like, wanting to touch those boobs another time. So there's, like, four or five different types of transition going on there. And it's just funny all the types of boobs you meet. I mean, people that you meet.
Sure.
When you're doing that. But it's funny to me, though, being serious, though, that I do meet people, whether I like them or not, in certain times of my life. Like, it's just...
during a transitional point of your life.
Yeah. Like, there's... I think that there's a... this goes beyond, like, being friends or whoever, but... there's people out there that are, during times of transition, you'll see people that are good examples and bad examples.
Yeah.
And not saying that that people are fuck-ups or not. It's not about that. It's just that, I don't know, you kind of see, like, where you want to go with your life. Like, okay, so for example, you're into music, I'm into music, and you're playing out live and all that stuff.
And you're playing out live.
Right. But you see people that aren't doing it right. They're not doing something right. Like... whether that's they're not networking and they wonder why they're not. I mean, like, okay, for a good example, I when you first came to Portland, you told me, like, you were pretty much exclusively playing Seattle because there wasn't much of a
scene
down here. And now it's like it seems like at least every other weekend you're here, if not the majority of the time.
Right, and the scene actually
or you can at least play here. Right.
Between the scene actually swapped from Seattle being really super big, and now it's Portland's bigger.
And I don't want to, like, kiss your ass or super build your ego, but I would attribute a lot of that to probably you partaking in going up there, and then I'm sure people would be like, I mean, you are, I know this for as long as I've known you, that you're awesome at networking. That's what I'm getting at, is that you've probably seen people out there that aren't good at networking. But through your networking skills, like, you just go up there, meet people, chill, they like you, they're like, hey, where are you from? Oh, Portland. Oh, do you ever play... You always play Seattle? Yeah, there's not really a place to play for. I'm not saying that happened, but
sure.
I'm sure little things like that have, and you know, through you playing and probably other people like you or whatever who are good at networking, the scene's kind of had a chance to grow more in Portland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, again, the bad examples, you've probably seen people out there who aren't they're not good at, like, I mean, when you're out there making music, you need to talk to people.
You have to. And honestly, for me now, with my networking, it's funny because now that I'm getting older, and I've been in the scene for now, you know, close to 11 years.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired.
Of?
Partying, I guess. Not, I mean, not really partying, but like...
Like playing live?
No, not playing live either. I go to the party maybe an hour before I perform.
Right.
And I stay maybe an hour after I perform.
Right.
To network and to talk, but I, you know,
versus going there the whole night.
I can't do the 5 o'clock in the morning anymore. I can't do the all nighter. Now, once it comes to like this weekend with this outdoor event, you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun because it's a camping event. That's totally different. But like as far as staying there, you know, and staying till 5 o'clock, I mean, it's I'm pretty tired, which sounds bad, but I think. Maybe I partied out too long. 11 years is pretty rough.
Maybe. What is this that's coming up? The outdoor thing?
It's the Boom is back. It's in Vernonia, Oregon.
Yep.
It's a four day.
That's out in the boondocks. Dude.
Yeah, I know. It's out in the middle of a bum fucking. You got a pretty mouth, you know. But it's gonna be a 4 day event. Dirty Trio.
What are the dates?
It's gonna be the 1st through the 4th.
Of
July. Nice. And,
you're going to be there the whole time?
No. I'm
going to come to my barbecue, motherfucker.
I'm going to come Saturday to your barbecue during the afternoon, and then I have to take off to Vernonia.
At night?
Yeah, I play at night.
What time?
Like 6 or 7.
Dude, you're going to miss the fucking barbecue. You're a dick.
Well, maybe stay until 5.
You're a dick. Whatever. Well, you're out there doing your thing, so. Well, that's cool, man. Kind of pissed now, whatever.
Yeah, I know. I wanted some of your beans.
That's all good, man.
What are you cooking this weekend?
Like barbecue ribs and burgers and just...
What time do you start cooking?
Oh, and we have this big-ass platter. Like, well, if you're going to do that shit, we'll probably start at 4 now for people. Because there's some buddies that are going to come over from that I worked with at the airport.
Yeah.
That they will all work at 8 or whatever, so they can't really come out at 6. They might stay till later, but...
Well, if they're going to come out early, why don't you start it at 2?
We're not going to start it at 2. We're going to start at, like, 3 or 4.
Okay, why don't you start at 3?
Okay, just fucking come over at 3, and we'll do our thing. I'll be all partied out by the time it really starts, so that'll be nice. I'll just be like, let's see.
Yeah, I'll be sure to be here at 3. Maybe I'll go out...
I don't give a fuck.
Maybe I'll go out Friday.
You're doing your thing. I'm not going to hold against you.
Oh, also, I might be able to get you a booking for Where Life Begins, if you'd like.
I think you were telling me about that.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me, what's about it now?
So, Where Life Begins is the biggest Northwest outdoor festival in September.
Where at?
It's in Eugene. It's a 3-day camping event.
So you're out in the woods and shit.
Yeah, you're out.
But there's power.
There's power, and, you know, I would probably bring, like...
I'll look it up real quick.
Like, flashlights and stuff for you, and bug spray and whatnot, maybe a tent. I usually just sleep in the back of my truck.
Right on. What's it called? Where?
Where Life Begins.
Where Life Begins. And tell more about it.
It's a 3-day outdoor music festival. Music, art festival. It has, like, a lot of electronic music going on and some art. It's probably one of the funnest events I've ever played. Last year, I think they topped out at like, I think 6,800 people. I might be wrong. Actually, it might be maybe a little less, maybe 6,500. That's actually last year's flyer.
So last year it says it was the 10th anniversary or whatever.
Yeah, so this year will be actually the 11th year anniversary.
So this is what the fuck?
Yeah, that's last.
Oh, 2010. So they don't have a poster up yet. Then.
They do have a new poster up. If you go to click parties,
where?
And everybody can check this flyer out at www.northwesttekno. That's NWTEKNO.org.
I just go there.
Yeah, click.
That'll give me the.
Well,
okay,
if you just click parties right up at the top.
Where? At?
Right there. You're on the mouse.
Oh.
And you go down to the bottom of the page and see where it says jump to month, jump to September.
Oh, right on. September 2011.
And it would be, let's see. Go ahead and click on September on the right. Just click that.
Bam, where life begins.
Yep, right there.
Cool. Yeah, I'll tell the guys about that. So they're going to allow bands, though?
Yeah, there's going to be, if you scroll down, actually, it'll show...
House techno. Okay, I see different genres.
There's different genres for different stages. And keep going.
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop, glitch, futuristic.
Hardcore, breakcore.
There we go, rock, punk, blues.
Oh, badass. Hey, man, fucking A. Yeah, we'll totally put it... Okay, who do you have to put in for? To get this,
I'll talk to Russell.
Okay.
Russell's one of the owners of Flare Productions.
And, okay.
You know, we'll see what I can do.
Right on. Yeah, that'd be badass. I'd be totally down.
Scroll up. Let me see if I'm up on that right now.
What would you be under, like electro or house or something? Breaks.
Probably house. Oh, I'm right there.
Where?
House techno, tech house. Scroll down a little bit.
Kill a K.
Right there. Yeah. That's
so what's GBE?
GBE is Groundbreaking Events out of Portland, Oregon. It's owned and run by James Renegade, who is actually a really, really awesome promoter.
Sweet. And Dirty Trio?
I'm actually not with Dirty Trio anymore. I'm actually with a new company called Dream Big Enterprises and my own company, Bear Cave Live.
Sweet. Which you do every Thursday night.
Yeah, which I do every Thursday night on Ustream. Just go to Google and type in The Bear Cave Live.
From 6 to 9 live?
6 to 9 live.
Pervert. Of course you'd pick. What time slot do you want? 6 to 9 available?
Yeah, any time from 6 to 9.
Pervert. That's badass, man.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really good show.
There's a shitload of music. Like, this page is filled. Yeah,
there's still more to come, and it goes...
So it's 4 days?
It's 3 days.
I think it's 3 days. Is it basically music just pretty much nonstop, or are there a couple hours where they?
No, it's music nonstop.
So you could have like a 3 a.m.
You could have a 3 a.m. time slot.
Fuck,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And it's nonstop lasers. It's amazing. They're gonna actually have a lot of vendors out there this year. With
3 days, two nights. It says
3 days, two nights. One night in Bangkok. That's Bangkok.
Right on.
So, anyways.
That looks badass, man. Do you have anything else that's coming up soon other than Bear Cave tomorrow night?
We got The Boom Is Back.
Which is when?
This weekend. Also.
Oh, Vernonia, yeah, that's right.
Vernonia. And then on July 16th, I am playing Make Some Noise for Red Cube Productions here in Portland. If you would look that up real quick, I'll tell you who the headliners are.
Say it again.
Just go to parties.
Oh, okay, got you, parties. And go July?
Yeah, July. And it's probably going to be one of the bigger events here in Portland. I'll read off the headliner so y'all can check these guys out.
Which one is it?
It's July 16th.
16th, okay.
It's going to be Make Some Noise by Red Cube.
Scroll up.
No, it's actually right there, the one that you're on.
Right here?
Yep, keep going down. It says Red Cube.
Red Cube. Gotcha.
Red Cube
gotcha.
Productions. So shout out to them for Red Cube and Jelly Bean Productions. Party's called Make Some Noise, and they're bringing in La Castlevania, Designer Drugs, the Freestylers, Flinch, DJ Flave, and Hyperfunk from Seattle, along with a lot of local talent.
Including yourself.
Including
Kill
myself, Gabriel Driscoll.
That's so cool, man.
Jaden, Echo Egg, Egum, Freddy Funk. So, hope to see you all there. You can get your tickets from, where does it say? Groove?
Tickets available at
Groove Tickets. Yeah.
And this is all on nwtekno.org, so northwesttechno.org. So you can check out. Yeah, this is a badass site, man. I dig. If there's, say, you know, there's some people that aren't going to be fans of the music, and I've been able to, I can find, good in anything. So there's some like techno slash whatever you want to call it. I call it electronica. I found electronica I don't like. I found a lot that I do like, help with your help. But if you don't like the music, or if there's one thing that I really do dig about it, it's the community that's online. And it's like, I think it's been able to grow and thrive because of that. It's not like any other genre. Like, there's other genres online, but I don't think it has the presence like electro does. Like, electro wouldn't really exist without it.
Well, EDM wouldn't exist with electric dance music.
Yeah. And I think it's, and I think that's awesome, though, that it has that community, because it's like, it's hard enough to get shows out there for other genres, and it's like, electronica artists have this to, and I admire it, and I envy it.
Word.
I wish I was, yeah.
So, what time is the show next week?
What show?
Our show, the show that we're on right now.
Oh, I don't know. We don't do this live, so we just get together. We get together. It's been mainly Wednesdays, but we got together once on a Tuesday. So, So we'll close out. We're trying to get a website up.
GoDaddy.
Maybe something. Yeah, we don't have the. I'll be honest, we don't have the name. We don't have anything registered yet, but we're gonna get webpage up pretty soon. We're on fucking iTunes officially. So before nice. You had to go to. Like Podbean, or we were on what's that fucking site? We were on Podomatic, so you had to go there. And thank you for people that are listening. We've had we have almost like 15 subscribers.
Nice,
which is a huge number, but it's a lot more than like our first one. So yeah, so that's people who like they get every episode. So thanks to them. But now you can go to iTunes. And you can, like, actually just search Share the Candy, and we'll pop up under podcast. Before, you couldn't do that. You had to go through this website. So with that and with putting on our own, our very own website, we'll have a little more growth. But it's been going good. So I guess, I'll give a thanks out to people that are listening. And it's been fun so far. We're trying to have more guests. If you would like to be a guest, or if you know anyone who would make a good guest... And seriously, you don't have to be. You could be a piece of shit for the most part. I'll just say that. Like, you don't have to be. If you are somewhat famous, please, we would love to desperately have you on. We'll give you. You know, we won't touch you. No. If you just basically have a good story and you just want to kick back and just chill,
bullshit,
talk about whatever, or hopefully me or someone else
just don't stink.
You. Don't stink.
The body odor is a no go.
Unless you're really fucking famous, then
no. If you got that D.O., if you got that B.O., get that D.O.
Okay, well we'll put you in a different room, but we'll start. Yeah, but if you just have like a cool ass story that we can just like rip, like we'll just go on a tangent with or whatever. Shoot us an email. Email's address is currently sharethecandy@gmail.com. Might be changing with our website that we'll be putting together here pretty soon, but So I think we're closing out. But just want to say thanks to the listeners. So far, it's been fun. And we'll see you next time, man.
Wah, wah. Wah. Well, later, guys.